Welcome once again to Life Changers International Church, and I want to lead you into an experience with God and an encounter with God that really introduces you. For the last several weeks, I've been trying to introduce you to what I call the throne life, a royal life, life at the throne of God. Everything in this universe ultimately is going to give glory to God. But we have the opportunity in this life to live at the throne of God, where the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, for it is a throne of grace, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You see, the throne of God is a throne of mercy for believers. It's a throne of judgment for those who die without Jesus. But it's a throne of grace for those who accept Him, for those who simply receive Jesus. There is no difference about how good or how holy you are. All that matters at all is that you've accepted the holy blood of Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice for your sins, for Adam's sins, for all of our sins. That's why the Bible says we have a high priest. Jesus is our high priest that makes a way, intercedes for us to have access to God. He says we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He said, therefore, since we have this high priest that understands our weaknesses, since we have this high priest that understands what we're going through, since we have this high priest that has felt everything you felt, that gives us the awareness and it gives us the comfort to know that He has compassion on us. He feels with us. That's what compassion means, to feel with. It's when you realize Jesus feels with you. Whatever you're feeling, He's feeling it with you. And that's why the Bible says that now, because of this high priest, Jesus, because of the Lamb of God, Jesus, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Your first introduction to God is an introduction to His grace, His unmerited, unearned love and favor. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. But I want you to see how beautiful this high priest is, this Jesus, that we can go to His throne by His blood. We have access to His throne in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. He says, therefore, let us come boldly by the blood of the Lamb. Let us come into the holiest place, the holy of holies, by the blood of the Lamb. Well, we've talked over this last few weeks that we can live at the throne of God by coming boldly to Him. We can live from the throne of God by understanding our authority and living our new covenant realities in everyday life, knowing that through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we reign in life and we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. But I also began to talk to you about how life is truly satisfying, life is truly fulfilling when we live the way we were created to live. You'll never be satisfied in life. You'll never be truly happy in life until you live for the purpose for which you were created. And the purpose for which we were created was to give God glory and enjoy Him forever. To give Him glory and enjoy Him forever. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the honor. Think about this beautiful Savior that introduces us to our Heavenly Father, this one who has washed us in His blood. In Revelation chapter 7, it says, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes, every tear, every prayer. He'll wipe from our eyes. He says, He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. I want you to think about this. Every tear you've ever shed, every prayer you've ever prayed, every time you've ever given thanks to God, none of it goes unnoticed, none of it. In Psalm 126 says, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts and songs of joy. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 says, when He had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And to another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it. And notice what it says, with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. All of our prayers are in God's presence, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended before God out of the angel's hands. You know, I really hope you can understand this, that I'm focusing on heaven because we're all going to go there when we die if we've been born again. I'm focusing on heaven because that's what we want, to get everybody to heaven. We want everybody to get there. But we also can bring heaven into this earth through our prayers. We can bring heaven into this earth through our praise. We can bring heaven into this earth through the power of God that we have in our hands to pray. You know, I believe heaven is filled with answered prayer. When we get to heaven, we're going to see a lot of answered prayer there that didn't get into this earth simply because nobody asked. You know, when people talk about unanswered prayer, I think the most common unanswered prayer is the unasked prayer. The unanswered prayer is usually the result of the unasked prayer. In other words, we're too afraid or shy, or we have some sense of false humility that prevents us from going bold and asking. What is it right now in your life that has been an unanswered prayer? Maybe it's because you haven't asked. What is the biggest need in your life right now? Is it your family salvation? Is it for a job? Is it for sickness to be healed? Is it for a relationship to be restored? Why don't we go to the throne of His grace and ask for it? Because all of the answered prayers in heaven, they don't need to be there. They don't need to stay there. In heaven is all our answered prayers, all of our answered prayers. So let's ask for them and bring them out from heaven into earth. Why don't I lead you in this simple prayer and just say, Heavenly Father, today I come to you and I realize, just pray this with me, I realize now, Lord, all of my prayers are answered in heaven, but I don't always ask them on this earth. Sometimes I've been afraid, sometimes I've been ashamed, sometimes I've been shy, or I've been ignorant. But today I pray that all of heaven's answers will begin to show up in my life. I ask, come on, just pray this together. Pray this after me. I ask for my family members' salvation in Jesus' name. I ask for your purpose and will for my life to lead me in the next steps and the next days, weeks, months, and years of my life. I ask you to show me your will for my life. I ask you to provide for me what I need to fulfill your will. I ask for peace of mind. I ask for wisdom, so that I can win more souls. I ask for wisdom so I can do more good. I ask for wisdom so I can know the right paths to take. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, when you pray and you receive it and you give thanks for it, you're giving God glory. Remember the 10 lepers, and all of them were cleansed, but one of them returned to God and gave Him glory. Let's return to God and give Him glory. Can we now that we've prayed for some requests, answered prayers that are already in heaven, and we're bringing them into the earth by asking for them and giving God thanks, can you remember the last thing that God did in your life? Can you remember the last moment that something good happened in your life, the last time? Let's give Him glory right now. Why don't we just give Him glory for the good that he's already done in our lives. Let's just take a moment and pray together and just say, Heavenly Father, I give you glory. I give you thanks for a new day. I give you thanks that your mercy is new every morning. I give you thanks that my sins are forgiven. I give you thanks that your presence is with me. I give you thanks because you haven't given up on me. I give you glory and say, use me, Lord, for your purpose. I give you glory and I say, speak to me and speak through me. I give you glory by giving you my life. I give you glory by agreeing to receive everything you have for me. Come on, pray that. Father, I give you glory by agreeing to receive everything you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, you see, living this throne life, this royal life, knowing that we can go to the throne and receive, we can live at the throne by receiving, we can live from the throne by speaking and prophesying and declaring, and we can live for the throne by giving him the glory that he deserves. And he deserves all the glory. He's so beautiful. The Bible says, David said in Psalm 27, there's only one thing that I seek, one thing that I want, one thing that matters to me, that I may live in your house my whole life long and study at your feet, to sit at your feet, to see your beauty, to meditate on your beauty. Boy, I think sometimes we don't go to God because we forget how beautiful he really is, or we don't give him the glory because we forget how beautiful he is. I want you to think of Jesus, our beautiful Savior. How beautiful is he? Well, we needn't ask too much to know how beautiful he is. All we have to do is start realizing what he's done for us. How beautiful are his hands as he healed the sick and as he touched the leper. How beautiful are his hands that fed the multitude with fish and loaves. How beautiful are his hands that have been pierced for our salvation and for our healing. How beautiful are his feet, pierced for our sins after years of walking, mile after mile after mile, bringing healing, bringing power, bringing love and salvation to whosoever believes. How beautiful are his feet that Mary must have experienced when she washed them. How beautiful are his feet that walked everywhere to preach the gospel, to set people free, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons, to encourage and embrace children. How beautiful is his embrace as children would go racing toward him to be caught up in his arms as he lays hands on each one of them and blessing them with his sacred, tender, holy touch. How beautiful is this Jesus that prays for us. How beautiful is his prayer when he prayed in John chapter 17, verse 23, that the world would know that the Father sent him and that the Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. How beautiful is Jesus' prayer. How beautiful is Jesus' humility when in John chapter 13, verse 3, it said that Jesus, now knowing that all authority had been given by the Father into his hands, all power and all authority was placed in Jesus' hands by the Father. Upon knowing this in verse 3, Jesus didn't take a bow. He didn't even take the throne yet. He didn't take a victory lap. He took a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. How beautiful is that kind of humility? How beautiful is his writing when he stoops down in front of the woman caught in adultery and he writes something down in the dirt, something that must have set this woman free? How beautiful is his love when they said, Jesus, the one you know who is sick, the one you love, is sick. Lazarus is sick. He's the one you love. The sister said to Jesus, this one, our brother, he's the one you love. Well, he loved Martha, he loved Mary, he loved Lazarus. He loves you, he loves me, he loves all of us. How beautiful is that love? How beautiful are his tears. When in John chapter 11, verse 33, he sees Mary weeping for her brother, and he was so moved deeply with compassion that in verse 35 it says, and Jesus wept. How beautiful is his brow as it was pierced through by a crown of thorns. The greatest king, the most brilliant mind, is bloodied by a punishing crown that he wore for you and for me so that we could be delivered from the curse. How beautiful is his heart that looks upon his mother weeping at the cross and commissions John to take care of her as he hangs there for you and for me on the cross. His concern wasn't even for himself in his most painful moment. It was for someone else, in this case, his mother. How beautiful are his words at the cross when he says, Father, forgive them, as they nailed him to a tree, gambled for his garments, mocked him for the world to see. How beautiful is his heart. How beautiful are his eyes that looked at the thief on the cross as his own friend, without condemnation, without shame. When the man said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, truly, truly, today you shall be with me in paradise. How beautiful are those words. How beautiful are those promises. How beautiful is this Savior. Can you see why we should live every day for his glory? Can you see why, when you see how beautiful he is, all you want to do is give him glory? All you want to do is thank him. All you want to do is praise him. All you want to do is spend time with him. We're not talking about a religious Jesus. We're talking about the real Jesus. Not a religious Jesus that is made up by men, manufactured by people, but the true Jesus that is both the lion and the lamb. He's the lamb, the first coming, and he is the lion in the second coming. He will come again, and he will be ferocious against all darkness, against all demonic forces. He will devour and destroy all of the works of the enemy, all of the works of Satan. He already paid for them on the cross. He already defeated Satan, but he will come again and with an open display of dominion and authority, we will see him as he is in all of his splendor and in all of his glory. I pray for each and every one of us today as we close. I pray you would have a revelation of Jesus' beauty and you would want to live at his throne, live from his throne, live for his throne. I'll close with this scripture in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, John said, and behold, standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, come up hither, and I will show you what must take place after these things. And John says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. I want you to see something very beautiful about Jesus as we close, that not only was he sitting on the throne and in all of his glory, the Bible says around the throne were 24 thrones with 24 elders on their thrones, clothed in white garments and golden crowns upon their heads. How beautiful is Jesus, who would share his glory, share his throne around him, allowing others to be elevated and to be at thrones. Some say this could be the 12 sons of Jacob and the 12 apostles. We don't know who the 24 elders are, but it says something very powerful about these men. First of all, Jesus raised them up with him, and Jesus sat them with him. And the two distinctions about these 24 elders, they were clothed in white garments. Do you know you're clothed in white garments? Do you know that Jesus took away your robe of sin and gave you a robe of righteousness? So you're clothed in white garments because you've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And it says they had golden crowns on their heads. You know, the Bible says that Jesus gives us a crown, and he gives us authority and gives us dominion and shares his authority with us. Wow, what a beautiful representation of what heaven will look like and how we will share all that Jesus is and all that Jesus does. He shares it with the people he loves. He shares it with the people that trust him. If you've never put your faith in this Jesus before, put your faith in him now. I want you to pray with me. Pray this out loud. If you've never been born again, you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die, by all means, this is the most important thing that you must be most certain of, more than anything else in this universe, to know that you have a home in heaven. Pray this simple prayer and just say, Jesus, come into my life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your gift of repentance. I receive you in my life. From this moment forward, I am yours and you are mine. I believe you died for me and rose from the dead. Today, I'm a part of your family forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you let me know and let someone know if you're chatting on any of our platforms? You can get a copy of my book for free. This is The Power of a New Life, The Next Steps in This Journey with God. It's absolutely free. You can download it anywhere in the world. So take advantage of this, lifechangerschurch.com/salvation. Download this book, The Power of a New Life, absolutely free. Fill it out. It will be such a firm foundation. It will set up such a firm foundation in your life for this journey with God, which is a lifelong journey and into eternity. Can't wait to our next service and get to share more with you. Until then, God loves you and so do I. Everything is going to be all right. God is on your side. God bless.